2 Samuel chapter 11 is a chapter in which David commits adultery with Bathsheba. And in that particular chapter, we're going to note this evening some lessons that we can learn from this story. And so I invite you then to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and follow along with us tonight as we sort of learn some lessons from this chapter. Now, we're not going to focus on the sin of David itself per se, but we're going to try to look at some other things that maybe get overlooked sometimes when we're focusing on this particular chapter. And as we study through this chapter, we're going to draw some lessons that I believe can be applicable to all of us from the standpoint of these are things that all people do when they commit sin of one kind or another. It may not be the sin that David committed with Bathsheba, but it may be some other sin that we practice or that we commit from time to time that we need help with overcoming. And that's why these lessons are here in the Scriptures. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." And so God has put these lessons into the Old Testament so that we can study them and we can learn them and that we can overcome the things in our life that some of the characters of the Old Testament did not overcome. And also, another point to be made about this is, in contrast to many of the ancient writings about kings and other cultures, which I've had the opportunity to study, you will see that those kings, they will only list the positive things that happened in their life. They'll talk about what cities they conquered and what kind of good things that they did, you know, and all their achievements, so to speak. But they never talk about their failures. One of the marks of inspiration in the Old Testament is that God doesn't just tell us the good things about the Bible heroes, if you will, but rather he tells us that they, you know, did some very bad things as well. And David was certainly one of those people. He was certainly a hero of the faith, and the Bible describes him as being a man after God's own heart. But one of the key things that made him a man of faith was that when he did commit sin, he recognized that and he repented of that sin and he turned back to God. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have to live with the consequences of the sins that he committed. He certainly did. But nevertheless, David teaches us some things in this particular story. Let's first of all read 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David and Joab and his servants with him and all Israel," or that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, "and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold." First lesson this evening is that David was not where he was supposed to be. Notice it says, at the time when kings went out to battle. David should have been going out to battle with his armies, but the Bible says that David remained at Jerusalem. He was not where he was supposed to be. How many of us get into trouble when we are at places that we are not supposed to be? Think about the warnings that the Bible gives us about associating with people and with places that we ought not to associate with. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 10 through 19, we're not going to read all of that, but it is a warning to Solomon's son not to associate with those people who are greedy of gain. If we hang out with them, if we associate with them, then their influence is going to rub off on us and we're going to find ourselves in trouble. He says in verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." In other words, don't go somewhere where you shouldn't be. Don't be somewhere where you are going to get into trouble. Proverbs chapter 5 warns against going to places of ill repute where sexual immorality is committed. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 8, Solomon warns his son there. He says, "Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house." So don't be somewhere where you shouldn't be. Proverbs chapter 23 warns about drinking alcohol. And it says in verse 31, "Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly." In other words, we don't need to even go near things like that. Don't even look at it. Why is that? Because in going near to that, in associating with those we shouldn't associate, in being in places where we should not be, we're going to get into trouble. David was not where he should have been. And that's the first lesson that we can draw from this. If we are somewhere we should not be, then we are setting ourselves up for failure. But then notice, secondly, that David asked some questions that he had no business asking. Notice verse 3. "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" He wanted to know, well, who is this woman that he was looking at? He had no business looking at her. He had no business asking questions about her. But he allowed himself, and he himself desired to do those things. Instead, he should have minded his own business, gone back into his house and prepared to go out to where he was supposed to be. You know, there's another great lesson that we can learn from David here. We often get into trouble when we get involved in other people's business. I'm talking about inserting ourselves into situations that we don't have any business inserting ourselves into. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, in fact, the book of 1 Thessalonians was partially written because there were some in the church at Thessalonica who were getting themselves in trouble because they were being busybodies. And the Apostle Paul writes and says that they should aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind their own business, and to work with their own hands, as we commanded you, he says. And so they were to mind their own business. You know, sometimes people try to drag us into business that is not our own. And my answer to someone who seeks to do that is simply this, in response to their questions: "I have no answer for you. That is none of my business. I don't need to get involved in that." And a lot of times that will turn them away. And even if someone is persistent, I continue to tell them, "That's really none of my business. I don't want to be involved in it." And that's the right thing to do, because there is plenty of things for us to be involved in, just minding our own business, taking care of our own things. And if you need some things to add to your list, you can come ask me and I will give you some things to do because there's always something that needs to be done around here. And this is part of your business since you are a member of this congregation. But minding our own business is certainly something that we need to work on. David was not minding his own business. He was getting involved in someone else's business that he shouldn't have been involved in to begin with. And then notice 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. Paul writes, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." Busybodies. What does that expression mean? It means that there are those who are going around from house to house or from phone to phone or whatever, trying to catch up on all the community gossip, trying to mind other people's business, trying to get involved in things that they ought not. There is a road to problems. David took that road, and he ended up in a very bad situation. The third lesson to take away from this is that David involved other people in his sin. And without saying, you know, in detail what happened, we all know that David committed a sin, but the thing is that he asked people to involve themselves in this. He sent messengers, verse 4 says, and they brought her to him, and then they committed sin together. And other people then were involved in his sin. We need to ask ourselves, am I involving other people in my sin? And is that something that I really want to do? Maybe you recall the lesson from Exodus chapter 32 where, you know, Moses had gone up onto the mountain to meet with God, and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says, receiving the law of God. And while he was up there, the people got restless. And they decided, they didn't know what had happened to Moses, and they were just going to do their own thing at that point. And so they went to Aaron and said, Aaron, hey, we don't know what happened to Moses. Now build us a golden calf that we may fall down and worship this golden calf, because we don't know what happened to Moses. Well, Aaron said, okay, we'll do that. He capitulated to the crowd, and he allowed them then to move him to get involved in something that he shouldn't have been involved in. David was a very powerful king, and certainly there were those who feared him, no doubt. But if just one person had stood up to David and said, David, don't do this. You don't need to be involved in this kind of thing. And that might have turned him away from this bad situation. But instead, David involved other people in it, and they went along with him. And that's not something that we want to do. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2 says this, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." Just because everybody is doing it, quote unquote, doesn't mean that I have to do it. We don't want to get other people involved. We don't want to involve ourselves in other people's sins, and we don't want to involve other people in our sins either. David chose to involve other people in his sins, and they went along with it, and they should not have done it. Lesson number 4, David tried to cover up his sin. We know after he committed adultery with Bathsheba that he called Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to come home and ask him to go back to his home and be with his wife. But he was too much of a man of honor to do that. The next night, David got him drunk and then tried to get him to go home and be with his wife. But even in a state of inebriation, Uriah had enough honor not to abandon the loyalty to his fellow soldiers who were in the field, and he would not go home. And so David devised a plan to get rid of Uriah. He had Joab put him into the front of the battle, and then where the battle was the hottest, and so Uriah would be killed in that battle. And he did all those things to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. We got to ask ourselves the question, when we sin, do we try to cover it up? Is that something that we seek to do? Now, certainly if we our sin has not gone beyond ourselves individually, then there's no need to cover it up. Many sins occur within our own mind, and maybe some sins occur within our own home, and those things need to stay where they're at. We're talking about sins that go beyond ourselves. Sins that get us involved in the public sphere. Do we try to cover those up or do we admit them outright? There are those who will lie and cheat and steal and murder even to cover up their own sins. It's interesting, I'm in the Rotary Club. I have the opportunity sometimes to visit with some of our county judges and district judges. And it's interesting some of the stories that they will tell about people who are put on the witness stand and then confronted with evidence. And even in the face of the evidence, they will deny, they will lie, they will do anything to try to cover up their sins. Psalm 64 and verse 5 tells us, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? Psalm 10 and verse 11. Here's another thing they say. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He, that is God, will never see. Oh, God sees all things. And one day he's going to bring all things into judgment for those who have not admitted and repented of their sins. You know, David did a lot to cover up his sin. We don't need to follow his example in that regard. If we've sinned, we've done something wrong, we need to go ahead and admit it, ask for forgiveness, and move on and deal with the consequences, whatever they may be, within our life, instead of trying to cover them up. That's the best thing to do. If we don't do that, we're going to find ourselves getting into deeper and deeper and deeper problems and more and more and more trouble. It's always best to ask for help when we find ourselves facing the consequences of our own sin. David tried to cover up his sin, and he should not have done that. Number 5, David failed to follow the right example. I think this is a good point that maybe we don't necessarily see when we're studying through this text. But you know, Uriah actually set a good example for David. When he came back and David tried to get him to go home, he said, no, no, I'm not going home. And why was that? Because he was going to be loyal to his fellow soldiers. If David had been loyal to his men, including Uriah, then he would not have done the things that he did. But instead, David didn't see Uriah's example for what it was. He should have looked at Uriah's example, been ashamed of what he had done, and repented of that instead of trying to get rid of Uriah. But like so many people do, when they see someone behaving appropriately and correctly and rightly, instead of changing their lives, they try to get rid of the person who is living correctly. And that is the wrong thing to do. That is not following the right example that we should follow. The Bible teaches us that we do need to follow good examples. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, we read, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. When good people do good things and live in the right way, we need to note that. We need to praise that. We need to follow their example. We need to do as they do, to follow their pattern when they're doing what's right. And how do we know they're doing what's right? By comparing their behavior with what God teaches in His Word. And if they're doing what God teaches, then we need to tell our children, look at this godly man, look at this godly woman, follow his example, follow her example, and do the things that they do so that we can also be the kind of people that God wants us to be. David failed to follow the right example. And in doing so, he brought much more problems on himself. David's failure to follow Uriah's example was probably due to fear within his life. Fear of the discovery of his sin and fear of the consequences of his sin. One of the things that we need to teach our children is that with God, all things are possible, especially being able to overcome our sins through God. In Psalm 56 and verse 4, the psalmist writes, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" If we trust in God, like we should, then when we commit sin within our life, we're going to recognize it for what it is, and we're going to turn to God, and we're going to put our trust in God. Fear sometimes creates within us the patterns of thought that David followed. Instead of admitting what we've done wrong and trying then to correct our errors, we try to cover it up. And that just compounds the issue. David tried to cover up his sin, but then number 6, David compounded his sin by committing other sins. And usually that's what happens. When we try to cover up our sin, we just end up committing more sin. And so not only did David then commit the sin of adultery, but then he committed the sin of lying. He committed the sin of getting a person drunk. He also committed the sin of murder. Now look at all of the sins that were piled up one on top of another because David didn't repent. He allowed his fear to control him instead of letting God and His word control him and putting his trust in the Lord. Even when we sin, we should put our trust in God, repent of the sin, and turn around and try to do what's right. Yes, there may be some consequences that we have to face because of the sin we committed. That's part of it. But if we put our trust in God, that will be the best thing to do because then God will help us to overcome those consequences within our life. God will help us to get through those things. It's interesting, as we read about David later on, and we talked about this tonight a little or earlier in our study session for these chapters, but as David was fleeing Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 16, there was a man named Shimei who came out and who cursed David and who threw stones at him. Now the old David would have probably taken up a sword and said, "Run him through." But the David who had been humbled because of the sin that he committed and because of his repentance said this in verse 12, "It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." What a difference in attitude that David had then from what he did back in chapter 11 to what he says now in chapter 16. David, because of his sin, developed a little bit of humility. And in developing that humility, it allowed him to trust in the Lord instead of trusting in his own might and in his own power. And as a result, David then turned to the Lord for his solutions, not to himself. And that made all the difference in the rest of David's life. You see, even though David had to deal with the consequences of his own sin, the Lord was there to help him through those things. But then finally, the last lesson that we want to highlight this evening is that David repented of his sins. Nathan confronted David about his sin and told him that he had done wrong, and God was displeased with the things that he had done. David had a price to pay, yes, but with God's help, he could get through it. David pens Psalm 51 after he is convicted of the sin that he has committed. And Psalm 51 is certainly a penitent psalm that benefits us today greatly and helps us learn how to repent within our life. He says in this psalm, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." David learned a lesson. He learned how to repent. He learned that the only response to evil is not to do more evil, but to do good. Are we among those who say, "Let us do evil that good may come"? No. Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 8 that those who say that, their condemnation is just. Instead, as Romans 12 verse 21 says, we are not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. And even the evil that we commit within our own life needs to be overcome with good, not with more evil. And that means that we need to repent. Today, we receive forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and that's the good news that God has given us. Unlike David under the old covenant, who had a promise of death hanging over him because of the sin that he committed, we do not have that promise hanging over us, that is a physical death. Now there is the promise of eternal death if we fail to repent of our sins. But the Bible teaches us to confess our trespasses one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. James chapter 5 and verse 16. And God says through the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So many great lessons can be learned from the Old Testament and from the examples of those who are in the Old Testament. And these are some of the great lessons that we learned this evening. First of all, let's not be where we shouldn't be and thereby get ourselves into trouble. Let's mind our own business and not ask questions that we shouldn't ask. Let's not involve other people in our sin, and let's certainly not follow a multitude to do evil. If we do sin, let's not try to cover it up, but rather to admit it. Let's seek to follow the right example when that example is set before us. Let's not compound our sin by committing more sins, but rather let's overcome evil with good. And finally, if we are sinning, let's resolve to repent of that sin, to stop sinning and to repent of those sins within our life and follow David's ultimate good example of penitence. And maybe tonight there's someone who needs help with some sin that they have within their life, and you know, you've struggled with it and you've tried hard to overcome it, but you just haven't been able to do that, and you need the prayers of the church this evening. This is not a time to shame people or to embarrass anyone or anything like that, but it's a place where you can draw strength from the church to help with problems that we all encounter on a daily basis if that help is needed. There are other avenues to talk about things and to get help with things. I'm not saying this is the only one. We could certainly sit down with one of our elders and talk about things. Or you're welcome to come visit with me if you would like to talk about things. All of those avenues are available to you. But this avenue is also available. And maybe tonight there's someone who has been living in a state of sin and rebellion to God and realizes that that's not the right path to follow and wants to make things right by changing his or her life this evening and becoming a child of God. And through hearing God's word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, one can begin a new life, buried with Christ and raised a new creation. One who is then to go forth to walk in a newness of life. Maybe this evening you would like to do that. Well, whatever your need may be this evening, we stand ready to help you in that regard. And we want to sing this song of invitation tonight and give anyone who needs the opportunity to respond an opportunity to do that, and you can come forward at this time and respond while together we stand and while we sing.